You ain't going to school, are you, Annie?
When I grow up.
You ain't either, Annie. You're going to stay here, take care of me.
I'm going to school when I grow up.
You said we'd be together forever and ever and ever.
I'm going to school when I grow up. Now leave me be.
And that's from a powerful movie, The Miracle Worker. I recommend that, the story of Helen Keller. And that passion that she shows, I'm going to school, she wants her values, and nobody will stand in the way of her values. She is pursuing her dream. She is pursuing her happiness. And with me to discuss happiness is Dr. Tara Smith. She's a professor of philosophy at the University of Texas at Austin, and she's the author of several books, and she's written many, many articles. And our topic today is on happiness. What is happiness, Dr. Smith?
Happiness is the way you feel when your life is going well. Be a little bit more specific, we can say happiness is the way you feel when the things you care about are going well, when you're achieving your value, your end, and they are actually contributing to your objective well-being, your health, not only your physical health, your emotional health, your psychological health, the all-round flourishing and nourishing of you as a human being, right? When things are going well and you are making progress, making strides in deepening your life and your enjoyment of life, that's what happiness is. So it's a sort of psychological offshoot or product of what you are doing.
Okay, so
how you're leading your life.
So when
you're leading your life basically effectively, and the corresponding condition that you'll be in is a condition of happiness. So one clarification. We often talk about, oh, he was happy today, or she was in a good mood. And there's nothing wrong with that way of speaking, but what I'm talking about is not simply being in a good mood because you like the weather this morning or your team won the game last night. It's not fleeting, it's not transient, it's not superficial, it's not cheerfulness, though that's a nice thing to be cheerful, right? It's basically the sense that your life is going as it should be going.
Okay, so it's an amazing accomplishment, as opposed to a temporary feeling of happiness. You hear a song you like, or you finally find those chocolate cupcakes you've been looking for, or the book that you want to read. Those are legitimate moments of happiness or joy.
Of enjoyment, sure.
Right? But it's not what we're addressing here. We are addressing that happiness is the undercurrent of your life, being a happy person. And achieving.
And I like that term, undercurrent, right? It's a more constant, enduring character that your life has. Obviously, we all experience numerous ups and downs in the course of an ordinary day.
So a happy person can struggle?
That bill made me unhappy. That unexpected compliment made me happy, and all sorts of variations.
Right.
That's fine, but right, we're talking about the more enduring.
And can a happy person struggle or fail or feel frustrated?
Of course. By of course, I just mean sure, you know, we can't control everything that happens to us in life. There's an awful lot you do control, and your responsibility, if you want to be happy, is to do everything you can to try to achieve your values, to choose your values thoughtfully and wisely, and to go after them sensibly, rationally. But you can't control what other people do that might affect you. You can't control just nature sometimes. So sure, you can fail, particularly
right,
short-term or temporarily. But when you fail for some reason that you could not have helped and that you
right,
were not responsible for, it typically doesn't affect your overall satisfaction with your life. It will be disappointing. It can be hurtful sometimes, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying you won't suffer real stings when you don't get the thing you were going for. But I'm not going to question myself if I know that I was right to be going after it and that I did what I should have been doing in order to try to get it.
Okay,
right?
So when
then it doesn't sort of challenge my sense that, but I am doing what I can do. I am leading my life in a happiness-furthering
way. Right. So when I applied to graduate school, it was a long shot. I had been out of school for a while, Dr. Smith. I didn't think I would get in, and I gave myself 5 years to get in. And the first year, guess what happened? I got rejected.
Mm-hmm.
I failed, so to speak. But I didn't feel like I failed. I had a different mindset. I called up the school and asked them, what are my strengths and where do I need improvement, because I'll be applying next year. And the person who answered the phone, I still remember his name, he said, this is so great that you called. Most people just take a rejection from a university and just tear it up and say, what's the use? Why bother? And you called. And he told me that I needed more experience. I didn't even know you needed I needed clinical experience to become a clinical psychologist. So I thought you got that in school. So I went back and got the experience, and I did get in the second year. So that's a good example of how to deal with a setback where you don't beat up on yourself, but you move forward. I'm wondering.
And I think that's a terrific example. It's a good example of what we're talking about. It's an admirable example, and it's an example in which it seems you were driven by the fact that you really had this goal.
Right.
And, you know, you weren't easily deterred from it, as one would quite understandably, and most people, you know, frequently are easily deterred. Oh, well, I'm not good enough.
Oh, what's the use?
No,
right.
You thought,
right.
I really want this, and I think I can, you know.
I think I can do it, at least.
I know what I don't know, but I know that if I learn what I need to find out or do, I can put myself in a better position to get what I want. And sure enough, here you are today, Dr. Kenner, right?
Right. Now I can, and enjoying it. So how important is it that people are aware of their own successes on whatever scale, whether you're dating and you have met some potential partners, or whether you're going back to school, or whether you set a goal? How important is it that people are aware of their virtues, their strengths?
Well, I think it's very important, actually, because so much of what sustains us, as we were just saying, there are all sorts of things you can't control, and there will be setbacks from time to time, bigger or smaller ones. But, you know, life can be discouraging at times. You know, one of the central things that sustains us is the belief, the conviction, and the sense that I can do this. I'm good at this. I can achieve goals. You know, I've done it before. I'm still doing it. So that sense of efficacy is really crucial to building the self-esteem, the self-opinion that's going to enable you to not just fold up the tent as soon as you get that first rejection letter and say, oh, well, I'll have to change my plans, right?
Right.
That's the kind of thing that tells you, well, life doesn't always work out immediately, easily, the way you would most desire. But with effort, you know, cause and effect, I can do things that will make much more likely my getting what I want. So I think it's very important that we feed ourselves realistically, completely realistically, but that we feed ourselves and acknowledge what we're doing right. Because that both helps us feel good about ourselves and genuinely strengthens us to try some more.
So it wouldn't
try in sensible, rational ways that have a good chance of ultimately propelling those goals and the happiness that we want.
So as you're talking, I'm thinking it's a very good strategy for people to keep a journal, and not a journal where they're always criticizing themselves, oh, I can't believe
I
did that, but a journal where they train their minds to notice their own strengths and their own good choice making.
Yes, because that also fuels the belief that if I think I'm pretty good at this, then I'm worthy of some somewhat ambitious goals, right?
Right. Right.
So, I mean, you also will set goals more appropriately the more positive a view you have of yourself. Now, again, throughout, you want to be realistic. You also want to, I mean, once in a while, you do something you shouldn't have done.
Right,
or you were lazy about something. But, again, it's only by being honest with yourself about that that you can reconsider.
And think,
if I really want such and such, that means I'm going to not have to be so lazy.
Right. I know we're right at the end of time here. I think we also need to focus on the strengths of our kids, for those of us who have kids. And I want to mention that if you want any information on Dr. Tara Smith, you can get it. She's written several books and a wonderful pamphlet, Money Can Buy Happiness. You can go to Amazon.com, and of course you can go to my website, drkenner.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Tara Smith.
Thank you very much for having me.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner and co-author Dr. Edwin Locke.
Understanding where emotions come from will make you a better romantic partner. Anger is your response to a perceived injustice or the violation of some important moral standard by another. You can also be angry at yourself for the same reasons. Guilt stems from believing that you acted against your own moral standards or values. Hatred A feeling of extreme animosity or hostility toward another person stems from evaluating that person in some way as bad or evil, or as a profound threat to one's illusion of self-esteem. Hatred of others can also be a displacement of hatred toward yourself. Here you urgently need counseling.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com. And you can buy The Selfish Path to Romance at amazon.com.